The Abyss Beyond Dreams by Peter F. Hamilton. Narrated by John Lee. Book 1, 27 hours and 42 minutes. Laura Brandt knew all about coming out of a suspension chamber. It was similar to finishing the old-style rejuvenation procedure she'd undergone back in the day, before bionic inserts and advancer genes being sequenced into human DNA and practically eradicating the aging process. There would be that slow, comfortable rise to consciousness, the body warming at a steady rate, nutrient feeds and narcotic buffering taking the edge off any lingering discomfort and disorientation. So by the time you were properly awake and ready to open your eyes, it was like emerging from a really decent night's sleep, ready to face the day with enthusiasm and anticipation. A full breakfast with pancakes, some crisp bacon, maple syrup, and chilled orange juice, no ice, thanks, would add that extra little touch of panache to make returning to full awareness a welcome experience. And when it happened this time, there she would be at the end of a voyage to a star cluster outside the Milky Way, ready to begin a fresh life with others from the Brandt dynasty, founding a whole new civilization, one that was going to be so very different from the jaded old Commonwealth they'd left behind. Then there was the emergency extraction procedure, which ship's crew called the tank yank. Someone slapping the red button on the outside of her suspension chamber, potent revival drugs ramming into a body that was still chilly, hematology umbilicals withdrawing from her neck and thighs, shocked muscles spasming, bladder sending out frantic pressure signals into her brain, and the emergency extraction had already automatically retracted the catheter. Oh, great design, guys. But that wasn't as bad as the skull-splitting headache and the top of her diaphragm contracting as her nauseous stomach heaved. Laura opened her eyes to a blur of horrible colored light at the same time her mouth opened and she vomited. Stomach muscles clenched, bringing her torso up off the padding. Her head hit the chamber's lid, which hadn't finished hinging open.
Hell's teeth!
Red pain stars joined the confusing blur of shapes. She twisted over to throw up again.
Easy there, a voice told her.
Hands gripped her shoulders, supporting her as she retched. A plastic bowl was held up, which caught most of the revolting liquid.
Any more?
What?
Laura groaned.
Are you going to puke again?
Laura just snarled at him, too miserable even to know the answer. Every part of her body was forcefully telling her how wretched it felt.
Take some deep breaths, the voice told her.
It was an effort just to breathe at all with the way her body was shuddering, never mind going for some kind of yoga master inhalations.
Stupid voice. You're doing great. The revive drugs will kick in any minute now.
Laura swallowed, disgusting acid taste burning her throat, but it was fractionally easier to breathe. She hadn't felt this bad for centuries. It wasn't a good thought, but at least it was a coherent one. Why aren't my bionics helping? The tiny molecular machines enriching every cell should be assisting her body to stabilize. She tried to squint the lights into focus, knowing some of them would be her exovision icons. It was all just too much effort.
Tank yank's a bitch, huh?
Laura finally recognized the voice. Andy Granfor, one of the Vermilion's medical staff, decent enough man. They'd met at a few pre-flight parties. She shuddered down a long breath.
What's happened? Why have you brought me out like this?
Captain wants you out and up, and we don't have much time. Sorry.
Laura's eyes managed to focus on Andy's face, seeing the familiar bulbous nose, dark bags under pale brown eyes, and graying hair that was all stick-out tufts. Such an old, worn face was unusual in the Commonwealth, where everyone used cosmetic gene sequencing to look flawless. Laura always thought that humanity these days was like a race of youthful supermodels, which wasn't necessarily an improvement. Anything less than perfection was either a fashion statement or a genuine individualistic screw you to conformity.
Is Vermilion damaged?
No. He gave her an anxious grin. Not exactly. Just lost.
Lost?
Which was possibly an even more worrying answer. How could you get lost flying to a star cluster that measured 20,000 light-years in diameter? It wasn't as if you